where does one draw the line? Like, it seems so much
sort of like magic or miracles in Indian stories. I mean, where does one draw the line? I mean, where does one become just like credulous and gullible? I mean,
when we are in tune with him, we are always gullible because we become childlike. And all this that we call magic, or it is all magic. This whole thing is magic. Isn't it a great magic trick, you know, for all this whole universe that we call, and all the celestial bodies are just suspended like that? And all the people, you see, astrophysics and other things, they say that, well, it is because of the revolution and rotation and the magnetic forces and the gravitational forces and all these forces. But it's all magical to us. And then they try to probe into it and they find, no, it's not that, there's something else. Then there's something else, there's something else. But it's all magical, still it remains like that. When we used to study in colleges, an atom was the tiniest of the particles which cannot be further divided, cannot be broken, it's the ultimate. And then it took about 20, 30 years now, and see the progress that has been made. They have corrected themselves. It's like that. It is magical. Because the very thing that is known as illusion, that which is not a mind asserts and says that it is, that is magic too.
Again.
The illusion, that which is not, we assert and believe and experience that it is, which is not so. And the mind continues to experience that it is. Isn't it magical, that which is not? Just as a magic trick is performed before our eyesight, it is not there. And we say that, yeah, we saw it, we did that. The person saw the woman in two, you see, we saw it. Yeah. And it is not, nothing has happened. And it is so. And that's what we call magical. There is that great story about Buddha himself, which leads me back to that magical trick of his. I don't know whether you all know about Maya being the principle of ignorance, as Baba has taught us or told us. So every time he comes in our midst, he tries to warn us that beware of Maya. Maya, Maya is that, it has its clutches over you all. Why don't you get out of it? Strive to get out of it and all that. All the time, every time they come and they tell us the same thing. Time and again they say the same thing. Get out of the clutches of Maya. And Buddha, of course, takes us back to 2,500 years ago, or 2,552 or 3 years now. How many years? 2,504 or 5, something. But why go to that? Only last century, you see, we had Ramakrishna Paramahansa. He also, as the perfect master, would draw our attention and warn us to be aware of Maya and all that. And exhort us not to get ourselves caught and entangled with Maya. So every time, every day, he goes on harping on the same theme, you see, to his close ones, Ramakrishna, I mean. And one day, in the midst of the assembly, Vivekananda, the Naren, spoke out and asked him, Master, you all the time say about Maya, Maya, beware of Maya and get out of the clutches of Maya, but how to get out of it? Why don't you tell us what to do, you see? You just warn us to be aware of it, but how would you get us out of it? I said, my grace can do that. No, but is there no practical way? He said, you want to know the practical way? He said, yeah, we would love to. The world would want to know it. So then he goes on dilating upon the whole subject and he says, Maya is like a huge fisherman's net, you see, cast over the creation by the creator and this and that. And nothing escapes it. We are under that huge mesh, fisherman's net. And everything is a catch. We are all caught in it. Well, if you want to have the practical know how else to get out of it, common sense tells you. There are only two ways out of it. You who are supposed to have been caught by the net get so big, so very big. Okay. Get so very big that the net cannot hold you. But then Naren couldn't be defeated like that. He says, Master, but you said that the whole creation is under the net. How can we become so big? How can we be out of it? Well, that's the trick. All right. Do one thing. That is impossible, isn't it? You say, then there is another way out of it. What is that way? Get so very tiny that you escape through the tiniest hole of that net. That can be done. He says, yeah. How will you become that? Then, of course, the whole Puran is to be said, you see. How to humble yourself, how to dance to the tune of the master, and this and that, and humility and childlikeness, and this and that. All that comes in this train. So there are only two possibilities. Become big, so big that the net cannot hold you, which is impossible. It is a possibility. By His grace it can be done. And on your own, become small, so that you can escape through the hole. That's what He's told us. And when you escape through the hole, then you expand and become so big that the Maya net cannot hold you. So that is Maya. That is how Vivekananda was answered by the Perfect One. But in Buddha's life, we have another fine example of Maya. And he would also harp on the same theme like that. This magical thing and all that. Beware of this magic. Beware of the tricks that the Maya plays on you. Don't get into the clutches. It has throttled you. It has made that infinite appear to be finite and limited in this and that and all that sort of thing. Of course, you all have read Baba's literature and all that. So you have gone through all these things. I know, need not repeat all this. The tricks of Maya, which Baba has always said, it is not ignorance, but it's the very principle of ignorance. It's the very basis of ignorance. Ignorance stems out of Maya. So, Buddha has been saying, so one day, of course, who can speak loudly in presence of the Lord unless one has the privilege? And there were a few around him who had the privilege, who were close to him, especially Ananda was one of them. Was he related to him? Yeah, he was the cousin. Yeah, that's why, you know. Yeah, blood is thicker than water in the ocean. So, so he had the privilege and he says, but what is the nature of Maya? What is it like? What is it that we have to be aware of? What is its nature? Time itself will let you know. Nature is this, that will, that which is not, you experience that it is so. That is its nature and all that. No, but how is it? How can it be like that? We know that it is not that. So you know that if I tell you that it is dark, will you accept the fact that it is dark now? No, how can it be? It is sunshine. No, it's no sun, it's a dark spot. You are in a black hole now here. It's like that. So no, it's not possible. So time itself will tell you. And the time did come in the life of Buddha, it seems so. So one day he tells his cousin Kalyan, says, you know Kalyan, I have got to go out somewhere else. Would you want to come with me? I just don't want anybody to accompany me. I want you to come too. Of course, this theme is lost completely. This thought was lost in Kalyana, absolutely, about Maya and its nature and all that. Ananda. So, it was after about some span of time that passed by, years passed by. So one day Buddha says that we have to go out, but I want you only to come with me. So I'm ready. So what we do is, let us change our dresses and just go incognito outside. And they went out, it is said so in the story. go from one place to another, one village to another, and all that sort of thing, incognito. And it's summertime, and Buddha seems to be tired and exhausted at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon and all that. And he, somehow or other, he finds the shade of a tree there somewhere. There's a river that is winding its way somewhere out there. And he says, Ananda, I'm so tired and so thirsty. Can you get good pure water somewhere from the neighborhood here? I'll sit here and you go and get the water out. If you all know the story, then I need not repeat it. Do you all know this?
No.
So then, Ananda, of course, with great joy, leaped and went out. He says, Lord, you will be here? I said, yeah, I'll be seated here. You go and get it up. Get me a glass of fresh water, pure water, good water, drink. I'm very thirsty. So he goes out, and of course, he crosses the river and wades through it. And there, the river was muddy and all that at the time. River water. He goes to there. And there he spots a nice farmstead there. And he says, yeah, there is a little habitation here. So, being the afternoon time, siesta time and all that, the doors were shut. So he knocks at the door. Again knocks at the door. And the door opens. And the door opens, and who opens the door? A beautiful damsel is there. Beautiful young woman. And she smiles at this young man who is Ananda. He is handsome too. And she looks at him, and he looks at her, and they go on gazing at each other. And she says, come inside. So he steps, he follows her. She leads him to a couch. He's made to sit there. You seem to be tired, isn't it? He says, yes, I'm tired. And he continues to gaze at her. I'll get you some food. You must be hungry. He says, yeah, I'm hungry. And so, and then she brings something, and he goes on eating. He looks at her, and she smiles at her, him, and all this. And they are in a conversation. And the assignment is completely forgotten. And what happens is that murmurs are heard by the parents who were asleep, and they wake up and to see this beautiful daughter of theirs, the only daughter. A stranger has come, he's a very handsome person, he has got his magnetic personalities there, and at the same time being the cousin of Buddha, you can just imagine how he must be handsome and all that. And they are having a chat over there. It's surprising them in an Indian family like that. And husband looks at the wife, and the wife looks at the husband, and between them, signals are exchanged. Isn't it a good man for our daughter? She seems to have fallen in love with this. So then the man approaches Ananda and says, are you married? He says, no. Oh, how wonderful. It's God sent that you are here. So true. And in short, to cut the story short, they get married. The old parents feel so relieved about it that, well, at last they found a very good, handsome husband, son-in-law for themselves, and a husband for their daughter, who is so beautiful and all that. With the passage of time, then of course Ananda is made to supervise the farm, and he became the owner of it because the parents died. And he begat two children, according to the story. And with the passage of time, everything was flourishing and fine, and he was looking after the farm, happy in his family. And all of a sudden there came showers of rain, monsoon season. Cloud bursts were there, and the river was in turmoil, and the flood waters were entering the farmstead and their house and all that. They didn't know what to do. The torrents, you see. So all that they could do is to just try to climb somewhere which is a higher place, but the river was skirting their farmstead, so the waters were there. So they said, Ananda caught hold of the wife's wrist, and in one hand he caught hold of the older daughter, and the little baby that was born was put on the shoulders there and told to catch hold. Not a baby, but a child, like this little one. And he starts swimming, trying to go towards the drier heights. While they are swimming against the currents and all that, it so happened that he lost the grip of the child. The child got drowned. He is in despair, he doesn't know what to do. And wife saw that, and wife was very much disturbed. So he tried to comfort her, and he lost the grip of the wife. Wife also got drowned. In the meantime, the child in this turmoil, the child that was on his shoulder that fell down and drowned. And he does not know, he is in total despair and this and that. And he is trying to save himself. The river is in torrents, and he at last gets to the drier side of the bank, you see, the river. And there, he's exhausted. And he looks up, and to his surprise, Lord Buddha is sitting there, waiting for the glass of water. And he goes there, and he goes, "My Lord, you are here?" He says, "Yeah, I've been waiting for the glass of water. Do you remember I sent you about 2 hours passed by?" He says, "2 hours? Well, it's my lifetime." He says, "What do you say to you? I just sent you out. I thought that you are searching for a house where you can get me a fresh glass of water." "No, but I'm married. What happened to me? I lost you." "No, my," he says, this is the nature of Maya. That's all. Let's go back home." That's all. Have you heard this?
Not that version.
Yeah. That is the nature. That is magical tricks.
But
it's a sort of a curtain.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, there's one... Can I?
Yeah.
There's a story I like very much about the Buddha. So he was out begging one time, and this man who was an ascetic came up to him and said to him, "Tell me the truth." And the Buddha said, "Go away, I'm begging right now." And the Buddha wanted to go and finish off begging and go back and eat his lunch. You know, this man asked three times, and if you asked three times, you had to answer in those days. So the Buddha wanted to put it as heavily as possible, and he said to him, "In the seen there is just the seen, and in the heard there is just the heard, and in the sensed there is just the sensed." And this man attained enlightenment, and immediately after, this man was gored by a large bull, where they buried him with all the honors due for an arahant, which is the Buddha's title at that time for someone who's achieved enlightenment. So that the Buddha stressed, anyway, Maya is very much in terms of, you know, that the mental interpretation. He didn't stress that much, anyway, like form, etc., as being Maya itself.
No, it is not the form. Out of which stems ignorance. It is that. That's according to what Baba told us. It has no form, but we, naturally, we relate ourselves only through forms, because we are forms ourselves.
Mm.
So we create an image of Maya.
Mm.
And in Indian mythology, Maya is always having a feminine role to play.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's Maya Devi, we call it. And that's how it is.
Mm.
So, yeah. And it has been also told to us by the sages and by the avatars in the past, that never try to turn your face away from Maya, but placate it always. But beware of its enchantment. Don't try to be rude to Maya, otherwise it will play havoc
that's
with you.
That's another form of delusion.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
They compare it in China to like the way in which a mandarin duck rides the waves. It just sort of swings.
I think it's the same in the West also.
What?
Maya being a woman.
Well, for women the Maya is man, and for men the Maya is a woman. It's just the same thing, interchangeable. Because mind is nothing but half the part of half. It's just half for each one of us. And it tries to get hold of the whole of it. And that's why the attraction and affinities are there for the opposites.